Hello, I'm Kate Chauviret and welcome to the SetUp Leadership and Safety Podcast, Driving Sustainable Safety Performance. Based in France and operating internationally, SetUp is a global executive education club where minds meet, grow and succeed together. We are a collaborative learning community of leading international organizations from diverse and non-competitive industries. Rooted in the real world and driven by the real-life challenges of our community, we co-create leadership development programs with innovative, highly relevant, and actionable learning. For over a decade, we have worked with our members to develop and strengthen the leadership elements required for a strong and sustainable safety culture. As organizations struggle to compete in a more complex and fast-paced world, forward-thinking leaders agree that the greatest impact on overall performance is achieved by caring for their people. Leaders who invest in safety programs and develop a culture of care inspire greater motivation, create happy and engaged teams, and boost productivity. So what could be more important than taking care of the most valuable asset in your business, the people who work in it? We hope this safety podcast will help move the needle yet a bit closer to getting to zero. This is the fourth episode in a series of five podcasts with Xavier Bontemps, international HSE leader with over 35 years energy industry leadership experience gained from senior roles at BP, INEOS and Total, and most recently as Total Energy's corporate HSE director. In this podcast series, we'll explore how leaders can drive sustainable safety performance to help protect lives, assets and the environment. Xavier will share his insightful real-life experiences, safety challenges, and best practice solutions. In this fourth episode, we're asking, how do you tackle HSE in a world bracing for renewables and the environmental and societal governance of companies? So welcome once again to the SetUp Podcast, Xavier. This is a big question for today's episode. How do we tackle HSE in the world of renewable energy?
You're right, Kate. It's a big question and it's a challenge that is rapidly evolving. To put this in context, on May 18th this year, the energy ministers of Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Denmark convene in Esbjerg, the European capital of land and sea windmills. They agreed and signed a paper to increase tenfold the number of windmills in the next decade. And what's their main challenge? The safe and effective acceleration of renewables development. Now, the Esbjerg Task Force Zero conference hence reviewed that same week how decades of oil and gas safety experience and culture could benefit renewables by avoiding hangovers from catastrophes or excessive legislation. And what are my safety concerns in that matter? Well, it's a bit like asking a junior Formula One driver to finish his race lap using an unproven race car quicker than the top professionals had achieved.
Can you illustrate what specific challenges, safety challenges, are ahead of us?
I can think of three challenges, two that are obvious and one that is really very new. Workplace safety, process safety, and above all, environmental and societal acceptability. Because new low-carbon energy covers wind, solar, hydrogen, biomass, biofuels, even natural gas, recycling, and they all have their HSE challenges. Let me illustrate three challenges through a personal story. Back in 2003, I was the refinery manager of the Netherlands Refining Company, a British petroleum joint venture which operated one of the largest European plants using a big hydrocarbon tank farm. British Petroleum, BP at the time, stood for Beyond Petroleum. And the Netherlands operated a few thousand land windmills at the time, all rather well subsidized. My technical department studied a windmill project for the tank farm's perimeter. Each windmill was state-of-the-art, powering up to 2.3 megawatts with mast measuring 80 meters high. The incremental risk to the tank farm safety was from the domino effect of a mast falling or the projection of a blade. We had evaluated that a marginal 10% higher risk had to be accepted, and it was acceptable given a number of mitigation protocols. And at the end of the day, it was 17% IRR, internal rate of return, and it gave meaning to Beyond Petroleum. I was then refinery manager with full financial autonomy in a country that wanted windmills. And guess what? My project was sanctioned and built within only 2 years. So, Kate, how do you think our auditors today view the top three challenges at the time? Well, first, the challenge of workplace safety. At the end of the day, this was a zero accident project because the refinery knew how to work safely at height, given many distillation columns and flares measured more than 80 meters. And electrical voltages of 60 kilovolts was common practice. So that was okay. Second, the challenge of process safety. At the end, I was lucky because 6 months after the startup, a field operator did notice one morning a 50-kilogram projectile that had been flung from one of the blades from one of the 9 windmills that was automatically shut down, but it had landed between 2 gasoline tanks. And the investigation showed that the torquing of bolts within the turbine and blades was insufficient. And this because we had not benchmarked peer practices beforehand. Now, the third challenge was that of environmental and societal acceptability. Because it was a wholeheartedly welcome project by staff and neighbors, it was not a big challenge. Refining staff at the time adored the change of flat landscape. The vast majority of employees took the lift on inauguration day to visit the turbine. They lived in the close surroundings of the plant and wanted this project. And construction and startup permits were obtained in record time.
And so how do these three challenges appear within the industry today? And what are the solutions?
Well, in 2003, climate change was not fully integrated into corporate strategies as it is today. And yet today, in 2022, a French land windmill will take not 2 but 10 years before concept and startup, assuming permits are obtained. This is because today's society doesn't accept industrial risks and hazards. Biodiversity laws prohibit construction of windmills in France in summertime, even if the land surface area is dismal, and even if construction hazards are tenfold worse in winter versus summertime. But Kate, we're in 2022 in a world bracing for renewables, but without wanting to live the constraints. We're talking about a new series of hazards, a much higher physical footprint in a crowded world which is real-time web-connected. Let's review again the same three challenges and a few insights into possible solutions. Kate, do you remember the first challenge?
Workplace safety.
Yes, good. Now, in 2019, the workplace injury frequency rate of renewable companies stood at 5 recordable accidents per million hours. Now, that's about 10 times higher than oil and gas figures. And the biggest hurdle in workplace safety is height. Why? Because gravity is our enemy. And solar businesses, by the way, are exposed. They subcontract to small local construction companies and new builds, and often retrofits are occurring in isolated locations far from any surveillance. In my opinion, solar businesses should request that their contractors adopt the oil and gas heritage safety management systems designed for subcontracting. To use acronyms, the French have MAS, the Belgians VCA, the Germans SCC, and the Danes Achilles. Now, for example, in France, the MAS means the Improvement of Safety for Contractors. This system was founded by Total and Exxon in 1995. Today, more than 6,000 French companies are members of MAS. And as a result, they have reduced their accident frequency by a factor of 3 over a decade.
Okay, so I'm still with you, but what about the second challenge, process safety? What's the solution there?
Now, back in 2016, I remember when Total bought the French battery company Saft, S-A-F-T. This company is unique in its ability to design batteries for satellites or the Mars rover, or even submarine torpedoes. Now, the dozen Saft heritage plants underwent Total's process safety review methodology using a mix of techniques. One noteworthy outcome following this review came shortly after the acquisition. In one of France's big cities, a Total Saft plant operates a lithium reactor that did not have safety interlocks protecting against the events of an exotherm runaway reaction, and this could have created a large quantity of toxic fumes from the atmospheric vent. Unacceptable. Automatic high-reliability safeguards were designed and implemented very shortly thereafter. Now, new technologies don't always have available national regulatory frameworks, and many companies only work against regulatory constraints. So renewable companies should turn to oil and gas professional associations. Why? Because there are many existing links between these companies and European and national regulators to deal with pragmatic existing and future legislation. And the reason being that oil and gas companies must develop the same renewable energies today and tomorrow in order to survive.
Okay, so number three, what are the challenges and solutions around ESG, environmental and societal governance and acceptability?
Now, Kate, ESG starts with G, which stands for governance. The governance that structures renewable projects is all the more fundamental in an industry accelerating continuously and using disproportionately more land on a shrinking planet. Hence, even though solar and wind energies play a crucial role in reducing climate change, they introduce their own visible environmental and societal impacts. More so than with oil, gas, chemical projects, proactive governance of stakeholder engagement becomes vital with renewables. And there is no shortage of acceptability issues in the renewable sector, with huge impacts, as you can think, on the deadlines of certain projects. And as a result, stakeholder engagement planning must start very early, in time with a company's response during the bid for tender. An initial stakeholder dialogue, a shared vision of the sensitivity of the environment, and a registration of the main concerns and expectations are minimum requirements for any project. Because the first challenge is competition for land, for example, with farmers, and sea for fishermen. And these are not matters that the project manager can solve alone. It needs the strong involvement of local authorities because in the end, it's all about planning choices. Land usage is equally a risk in terms of human rights. Respecting communities' land rights can never go perfectly when monitoring land acquisition or dealing with a fair resettlement of the people affected by the project. It is advisable to carry out a human rights impact assessment and a follow-up audit. And in all cases, a grievance mechanism must be established, promoted, and communicated to all stakeholders. In terms of environmental impacts, biodiversity today, and even more so tomorrow, receives much more scrutiny. Avoiding deforestation, mitigating the fragmentation of natural habitats are the main issues. The sensitivity to local ecosystems must drive the action plan. Today, companies must go much beyond their regulatory obligations by contributing to biodiversity restoration in addition to mitigation. To continue and illustrate, the circular economy is also the new industrial frontier for renewable businesses, as a lot of innovations are emerging to deal with eco-design, reuse, and recycling. But guess what? By 2050, 30 years from now, photovoltaic modules will account for an estimated 10% of global electronic waste. And being able to process them is much a question of saving resources, as the security of supply as the market is still very dependent on China. Now, this introduces equally the issue of forced labor risk within the supply chain. So renewables rhymes with strengthening responsible purchasing policy and increased traceability requirements of suppliers.
So what does this mean for corporate HSC of companies engaged in renewables?
So you can see, Kate, that HSC's mission in life is changing over time and necessarily with renewables. HSC management needs a very transversal vision of the issues and driving policies, not only in management of social and environmental topics, but equally related to the supply chain and the design of projects. Even recycling needs front-end thinking because acceptability is enhanced when partnering with suppliers. I also believe that corporate's HSC role is to challenge internal company project teams on their assessment of risk and impact. I think HSC should check if the project supports a company's policy on these key issues and seeks clear commitments with external stakeholders in finding solutions. For example, no net loss of biodiversity and zero net deforestation in the development of new infrastructures require creativity and stakeholder relations.
So how do we conclude this big question of HSC success in our new renewables?
Well, the traditional to safety leadership still applies to renewables. The same safety performance leadership levers applied in my last company when expanding refining and chemicals and still apply to natural gas and renewables. In summary, the six elements discussed in other podcasts, Kate, felt leadership, performance monitoring, HSC competencies, investigation analysis, recognition and sanctions, or communication, all of these six levers still apply. But only caring for staff and contractors does not suffice today. Tomorrow, and especially even today, caring for community, people, and the surrounding nature is becoming the new license to operate. This goes beyond local legislation, and it encompasses all stakeholder relations, especially with new build projects. companies are currently beefing up centrally their environmental and societal teams with talent which is much more diverse, much more externally focused, and more tapped into NGOs and biodiversity associations. Their challenge is to raise this awareness within their companies as part of a new HSE culture. And in conclusion, this, of course, is the same message as with the other previous podcast. HSE leadership is a primary factor of evolution.
Thank you so much, Xavier. This is the end of today's episode, and we look forward to the next and final episode where we will be discussing the common performance levers between safety leadership and operational excellence. Xavier Bontemps is an international HSE leader and safety professional with over 35 years energy industry leadership experience gained from senior roles at BP, INEOS and Total, and most recently as Total Energy's corporate HSE director for over 3 years. The leadership themes discussed in this podcast are explored in detail during SEDEP's flagship Leadership and Safety Culture Program, Levels 1 and 2, co-created by L'Oréal and Sanofi, and in SEDEP's Safety Leadership Academy program, jointly created with SPE for the oil and gas industry and endorsed by the IOGP. These inspiring learning journeys are designed to help participants rise to the many challenges involved in creating a healthier, more engaged and effective workforce, and examine how our pandemic world has changed workplace health and safety expectations and needs. Our programs enable H&S leaders from all industries and sectors to rethink their roles and develop the skills and tools necessary to embrace our new world. Our Safety Leadership Academy is specifically focused on developing leadership capabilities within the oil and gas industry to shift paradigms and make zero accidents a reality. You can find out more about these programs on our website at www.sedep.fr. Thanks again, Xavier, and until next time.